Good evening, everybody. It's nice to be here. Just want to give a little story real quick before I start to preach on the message God's laid on my heart. Today, I was in court today, and I don't know if anybody today in here has had the privilege of being cross-examined by a defense attorney and a prosecutor. There's a certain seriousness when you go to court, you know. There's no jokes, no laughter. It's just real serious from the judge to everybody in the courtroom, you know. There's no giggling, there's no laughing. It's a high level of respect in there, you know. So as I'm sitting there, you know, I'm looking around. I start to think about the white throne judgment, you know. Because, you know, when you get cross-examined, when you're in a courtroom, it's a big game at times, you know. You have both sides asking you questions. This one's asking you questions based on the answers you gave this person. And it goes around like in a big circle, you know. It's back and forth. You know, I object, or, you know, that's the whole time. It's a big game, you know. And that's the truth of the matter. It is at times. But, you know, during that white throne judgment, there's not going to be no back and forth. There's not going to be no, well, you know what? There's none of that. It's not going to be no circus or anything. It's going to be something more serious than you ever imagine, okay? So just keep that in mind. Something the Lord laid on my heart to say, you know. If you would, turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 81. It's going to be verse 10. This is the verse the Lord laid on my heart. I asked him, Lord, what would you have me to preach today or tomorrow? Or he said, go to Psalm 81, start reading. So I began to read. If you would please stand as I read from the scripture. Psalm 81, verse 10. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for his message you laid on my heart to preach, Lord. Lord, I beg and ask you to be up here with me as I preach, Lord. You're invited in our church right here. It's your church, Lord. Well, right now, I just want to thank you for saving us right now, Lord. For saving us from hell, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus down to die on the cross for us, Lord, so we can have this relationship with you, God. Thank you so much again, Lord, for all you do for us, Lord. Right now, I just want to pray for our sister Cindy as she's out sick, Lord. I ask that you heal her body and you bring her back to your church, Lord, so she can hear your word preached, God. Again, Lord, we praise you. We praise Jesus Christ Almighty as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first portion of the verse says, I am the Lord thy God. You know, in this day and age, this word Lord is not taken seriously anymore, you know. The word Lord doesn't have the seriousness that once meant a long time ago. Especially to non-Christians that walk around right now. You know, the word Lord is taken in vain so often. We hear the word Lord nowadays is always something that either used in some type of degrading way. But you know, back in these old times, someone called someone Lord, it meant that was their master. That was their chief, that person who ruled over them. You know, they referred to him as Lord over and over again. So, you know, the quick definition of the word Lord is someone or something having power, authority, or influence. One's master, one's ruler, one's chief, one who exercises authority. You know, like I said, today is the word Lord is not taken serious like it should be. You know, and the only thing I can think of right now that can make you think of something that where the name Lord is taken serious is landlord, okay? You know, nowadays people have landlords, you know. Now you don't pay that landlord, he or she, you're going to see the authority and the power they have over you, okay? You don't pay your rent or something, sooner or later they're going to take you off your land. You're going to realize who this landlord is, you know. And it's just not taken serious nowadays, the word Lord, at all anymore. But, you know, in this first verse, I am the Lord thy God, what the Lord's trying to tell us, his children, his chosen people, that I'm the Lord your God, thy God. You know, I'm your master, I'm your protector, I'm your savior, you know, I'm your provider. You know, I'm all that you need. And what else the Lord is trying to say is that, you know, also what he's saying in this first portion of this verse is, you know, you need not to depend on no one else but me. I'm thy Lord, I'm yours. You know, if someone's picking on you, the Lord's going to tell me who's picking on you, you know. I'll deal with them. Someone's messing with you, someone's caused you some type of discomfort, someone's bringing you some type of misery. You know, you belong to the Lord. The Lord's going to deal with that person sooner or later. You know, the Lord's also saying in this verse, you know, if you're ever lost, you know, I'll be there for you. I'll be that pillar of light for you. I'll guide you wherever you need to go. I'll be there for you. You know, if you're ever hungry, you know, Lord's there for you as well. I'm your Lord. I'm your Lord, thy God. You know, if you're ever hungry, I'll feed you. I'll feed you that manna from heaven. I'll feed you spiritually as well. You know, if you're ever hurting, you know, Lord will be there for you too to heal you if you need healing. You know, again, what the Lord's basically saying, you know, anything you need, I got you covered. Anything you want or need, you know, I'll be there for you. You know, but you know, a lot of times we have people who helped us in our life that, you know, maybe you know, co-sign for us on a car payment or something, or helped us out with this or that. You know, someone maybe helped you pay your mortgage one time. Someone who's helped you, you know, financially over and over again, or helped you buy you lunch or something. You know, but the one person who's been more helpful than anybody right now you can think of, you know, is the Lord. You know, no one else can, you know, they might feed you the worldly things, but only the Lord has saved you, you know, your spirit, you know, saved you spiritually, saved you from the pits of hell. You know, no one else around you has done that for you. No one you can name has really done that much as the Lord has. You know, it's the Lord who's there for us, who we can trust over and over again. You know, what the Lord is also trying to say, I'm the Lord, you know, when he says, thy God, he's saying, I'm your God, you know. You belong to me, I belong to you. You know, but isn't it great that we serve a Lord that says this to us, that, you know, I belong to you, you belong to me. You go through all these other religions and stuff, they don't say this, you know. You don't belong to that God they claim, you know. It's all about, you know, ruling over somebody or telling someone what to do. But no, but the Lord right here is telling us that, you know, you belong to him, I belong to you. In the second portion of this verse, you know, I'm the Lord thy God which brought thee out of Egypt. You know, Egypt represents, every time you see in the Bible, represents sin, represents the bondage of sin. Represents the bondage of oppression, being a slave by the devil in this world, and the things of the devil. But only the Lord can truly free us from this, you know, free us from this bondage of sin and this bondage of this world, all the things it can offer you. You know, Satan is demons, which only this world and Satan is demons can only cause, you know, causes this division between us and the Lord at times. You know, it causes us not to have a relationship with the Lord, you know, when we're in this bondage of sin. Well, how we find ourselves in this bondage of sin? One thing that comes to my mind right now, you know, right away is only the Lord can bring us out of this bondage of sin that we find ourselves in at times, you know. Over and over again, you see these rehabs people go to, these celebrities over and over again. They're in and out of these rehabs. Also, people we know, we come across here and there, you know, but all these doctors that do the things they do to try to help people, most of the times you hear they're back in rehab over and over again. You know, it just shows that it's not man who can help us out in that bondage of sin that we're stuck in, that we have covered, we have our whole body and our soul covered with. It's only the Lord, when we call out to him, that can pull us out of that bondage of sin. Not man, man and their doctors, not man and their will, not man and what they know. It's only the Lord that can really pull us out of that bondage of sin, you know, over and over again. You know, why are we in this bondage of sin at times? I believe it's because we make this bondage of sin for ourselves. We put ourselves in this mess over and over again, you know. And a prime example I can think of is we don't do things the Lord's way. We don't do his will. We do our own will over and over again. find ourselves in a big old mess over and over again. You know, financially, we might make a bad decision. You might. One thing I can think of myself personally is that, you know, going to get some type of credit card and purchasing some stuff and not going before the Lord and getting his say on it. Where do you find yourself in a financial mess later on? You can't make the payments. By the time you miss the payment, you're paying interest charges and all that. You know, these are the type of things that put us in that bondage of sin, a bondage of, you know, oppression, you know. You know, and Satan wants us to not do the Lord's will. He wants us to go out and do our own thing, you know. He's always waiting for us to slip and just to bounce on us, you know, to pounce on us. You know, we should never go do anything, you know, 100% unless the Lord's behind us. So that's just another way we find ourselves in this bondage of sin. Well, what does the Lord require of us in order to get up out of this bondage of sin? Or to some of us at times to get right with Him? You know, it's going to take a little work at times on our behalf. You know, it seems like, you know, sometimes we are scared of this little work, of doing some type of work for the Lord right now. You know, a lot of times the reason why the Lord won't help us and help other people is because it's simple. We don't ask for it right away. You know, we just want to sit there and try to take care of things ourselves. Now, how can we expect for the Lord to help us when we don't ask for that help? And that's the same reason why some people won't ever be saved, is because they won't, you know, fully submit to the Lord and, you know, ask to be saved and come to that point of repentance, you know, like we're supposed to, like we do when we are saved. Then it's plain and simple. Sometimes people just don't want the help the Lord can provide, you know. They want to, again, do things their own way. You know, but how do we get right with the Lord again? How do we get out of this bondage? It's going to take a little bit of action and humility at times. You know, and one of the things I can think of right now is is the altar. There's nothing powerful or mystical about it, you know. Sometimes it takes us to get right with the Lord. We're going to have to show some humility, you know, and come to the altar and get things right with Him. I remember one time, I remember being in discipleship with the pastor. I remember Heather asked, you know, what was the big thing about the altar, you know? And the perfect answer he gave us was, well, the altar is somewhere where, is the place where things are altered with the Lord, you know? It's nothing to do with coming down here and praying something and the Lord's, you know, it shows some type of humility for the Lord, to the Lord, you know? You come down here, one-on-one with Him right here, you know? It's, you know, one of the things I understand is how some of us don't ever come to this altar and pray. You know, so I believe sometimes it has to do with some pride and ego, you know. You know, I don't want people thinking there's something wrong with me and, you know, that I don't need to go to the altar. I'm perfect. I'm fine. Whatever. You need to get that out of your mind. That's not what it's all about. You know, come down here, you know, get right with the Lord. You know, if anything, pray for others. Pray for us, you know. Pray for our pastor, you know. Pray for me. Help me with my messages. Pray for the Lord to help me at work. You know, pray for this church. Pray that others are coming and get saved, you know. You know, if you need some help, come down to the altar, say it. I'll even help you. I need those prayers. We need those prayers, you know. Everybody in this church needs those prayers. Again, you know, this Christian walk around is going to require some work, like I said. You know, just give in to the Lord and, you know, it's the same reason why some people won't ever just fully grow in the Lord. You know, simple things like that, you know. You know, in the second portion of this verse right here, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Well, this portion of the verse says, you know, what this makes me, you know, reading this portion of the verse is just something that just shows how much the Lord really loves us, how much He really wants something to do with us. You know, it just shows He wants something to do with the rotten sinner like me, you know, like us. you know, I don't deserve this relationship with the Lord that he wants, that he requires and desires for us right here. You know, I don't deserve, you know, the mercy of the Lord. I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve, you know, heaven. I don't deserve these blessings he gives to us over and over again. You know, and I don't deserve, you know, Jesus. I don't deserve the salvation he's given to us, you know, that he's died for. You know, and I sure don't deserve that relationship with the Lord. You know, things I do deserve, I do deserve him. I deserve to be in him forever. I do deserve to not be forgiven for my sins, you know. I do deserve, you know, not to be saved. I deserve to be in the bondage of sin that I was once in. I deserve that. We all deserve that. But then again, you know, the Lord shows his grace right now with what he does for us over and over again. You know, what else the Lord is saying in this verse right here, you know, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. You know, what the Lord is saying is, you know, I'm here for you and I want to bless you. And I want to give you what you need. I want to give you some of the things you want as well. You know, and this just shows that he really loves us. He wants something to do with us. You know, no one ever tells you, you know, quick example, I'll use a, you know, wife and husband. When y'all first got together or something, you know, they didn't say, hey, I'm going to get you something for Christmas or your birthday, but I want nothing to do with you. You know, that doesn't happen like that. But the Lord is right here saying he wants to bless you. He wants to help you out. It just shows how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. And he wants something to do with us. You know, this is the close and personal relationship he desires with us. You know, this is the... And also the Lord right here saying that he's open to us. There's no limitations with him with, you know, when you read this verse, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. He's fully open with us. You know, he wants to have quality time with us over and over again. He wants us to tell us how our day went. You know, he wants us to have that relationship he wants with us. He wants us to tell him what's troubling us, what's bothering us, you know, who's messing with us. And there's no limitations with the Lord. He also wants us to even tell him the things that we don't like that he's doing in our life at times, you know. That's just how open this relationship is with the Lord right now. And I think sometimes we limit what we tell the Lord and this time we spend with him. We're just asking for stuff over and over again. You know, when you speak to the Lord, speak to him just like he's right there next to you, you know. But I just think, like I said, we get caught up too much in just asking for things over and over again. But, you know, I'm not saying don't ask for things and don't pray for people and, you know, pray for yourself. But also just talk to him like he's just right there, you know, like he's your father right there, because he's our Heavenly Father. You know, also, every time when I see this verse, I think of the Lord just sitting there, just, you know, waiting for us to talk to him, waiting for that fellowship with him, you know. You know, the last portion of the verse, you know, and I will fill it. You know, Lord, it's only the Lord who can truly change us, okay? And the reality of being saved is, you know, what's really so bad about that? You know, this world likes to make fun of Christians left and right. You know, you go to church all the time, you read your Bible. Or what's really so bad about that? Because when you get saved, the Lord really fills you with something different, you know? What's so bad about being a Christian and not wanting to go out partying, go out and drinking? You know, what's really so bad not wanting to go out and get drunk? Yeah. What's really so bad about not wanting to participate in those things you want you to participate in? You know? Sure. The one minute you're fully engulfed in this world, after you're saved, you're just a total different person. You know, that just shows what the Lord can do. That just shows that's not someone who's weird. That's someone who's saved. You know, but it's only God that can do that. You know, he makes us a new creature after we're saved. You know, it's a big, gigantic difference we see in some people's lives here. You know, I know I felt it in my life. I'm not sure some of y'all have too. But, you know, with the Lord's blessings and his understandings, he makes our life better. You know, his blessings, they build Christians. They build us up. You know, we go from this one life of we weren't like that. We were just basically self-destruct mode. You know, and the blessings of the Lord, like I said, build us up and better us. You know, makes us better employees. You know, makes us better father, mother, sister, brother. You know, but unlike sin, which destructs and destroys, you know, and people want to say, what's so wrong about going out and having a drink here and there? What's so bad about drinking alcohol? What's so bad about, you know, all these other things? But I've seen so many lives destroyed with these things this world values that doesn't want to let go. You know, I've seen people killed left and right over some alcohol. And so many people's lives are affected with this sin. It just shows how it's, you know, destroys and destructs. So I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thou my wide, and I will fill it. Again, this just shows the greatness of the Lord we serve right now. That's our message.
Chris, appreciate that tonight. Amen. What a God. Amen. What a Lord. You think about just that very thought tonight that He has delivered us. You thought about that? Where would you be tonight if He wouldn't have delivered you? I believe some of y'all would be dead. I believe some of y'all would be incarcerated. Maybe some of y'all would be divorced and maybe drugged out, maybe alcoholic. Maybe so depressed. Maybe life have been destroyed. Maybe lose some of your limbs. Maybe already in a home someplace because you've been in a wreck or because of some things that have been done. Boy, I'm telling you tonight, God has done us a great, great, great passion, a great job of work into our hearts when He said He delivered us. I sure like that. All He says is open your mouth and I'll fill it. Tonight, if we're lacking, you know why we're lacking? Because we ain't open our mouth. Don't complain tonight what you don't have. Amen. If you do tonight, you just don't know the Word of God. Because tonight He said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Meaning tonight, the only reason why you wouldn't get your mouth full is because you won't open it. Help us tonight, Lord, to see You. Depend upon You. He's a great God, ain't He? And what makes it even greater is He's mine. He's mine.